Amen. Thank you. Last week, and in some other sessions in our classes about being led by the Spirit, I know that Damon and Glenn both have mentioned some things that they have noticed that don't work. And because we all come from such different church backgrounds, some of you had some real questions. What are you talking about, the crying and moaning and wailing and, you know, things like that. And because we've traveled so much and we've been in so many different cultures, we have seen a lot of different applications of doctrine, men's doctrine, not what the word says about prayer or fasting. And some of that is revealing and can teach us about ourselves and about the word. And so tonight, before Glenn comes up and does his usual wonderful teaching, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things we don't want to do because it's gotten applied. The word has been applied in error or has become a tradition that's practiced in error. And I may say some funny or silly things about some people I know, and I want you to know it's nothing I wouldn't say directly to them, and I love everybody I'm talking about.
You told me you wouldn't do that.
It's too late, LaRoyce. Okay, I want to start, want to go back to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 8. Now, we've looked at almost all of these verses, and when I printed up our notes for tonight, I realized that Glenn and I are using a lot of the same stuff, but I'll try not to bore you. As they've pointed out very much, or very frequently, prayer is communication with God. And I have to stress that communication is a two-way street. It's not just reciting a list of things that you need or things that you're concerned about or things that you think some doctrine you learned says you have to pray about. Okay? We have a tendency to just go through a list sometimes. Okay, well, these are the things I need to pray about. And it ends up not being communication. It ends up being a monologue. And we don't give God time to talk back. And sometimes it's better if we would just not talk at all and we'd let him start the conversation. What have you got to say today? Matthew 6, 5 through 8 says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." Well, this part up here, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites." It's very interesting because in Jesus' time, the people who were the most well-known hypocrites were the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who made a big show of how much they prayed and how loudly they prayed and fasted. And they wanted everyone to see them so that everyone would know that they were keeping all these laws and all these rules. And that's what kept them holy. The interesting thing about calling these very religious people hypocrites is that the word hypocrite means actor. Actors were the people that gave the name to these religious, I mean, the actors didn't give the name, but the name actor is the name Jesus used for these Sadducees and Pharisees, people that we now often call Pharisees, because they make a show of religion, but they really don't have a relationship with God, or the show is more important to them than their intimate relationship. So I think it's kind of interesting that we shouldn't be like hypocrites, like actors in terms of our relationship with God. Because the main concern in that case would be what? Would be to be seen, performing. And that's the last thing we want to do when we try to communicate with God. We have a lot of different churches and a lot of different expressions of being Pentecostal or Spirit-filled or charismatic or whatever you identify as in this day and age. And sadly enough, we see a lot of situations where many people that go to churches like that have become Pharisees or hypocrites in their own right, because if they don't answer every altar call, then people in church wonder what's going on with them. You know, they're not into what the preacher's saying, or they're not responding to God. So everybody starts feeling pressure to answer every altar call. Or maybe you're supposed to fall down or start swaying when the preacher touches you or prays for you. They call that a courtesy drop. You know, I'm just telling you how it is. The first time that I was in a church that everybody practically ran to the altar and laid down and started screaming and crying, I was pretty sure I was in the wrong place. And I just had to ask somebody, what's going on? Well, they explained to me that these people were intercessors. I said, okay. Well, an intercessor is somebody who prays. Well, yeah, but they're praying for people to get saved. I said, okay. Well, over time, because I was at this particular church off and on for years, I realized that that's exactly how this group of people always thought they had to pray to see the lost saved. They had to run to the altar. I mean, I'm telling you, the most important intercessors had worn out spots on their pants, and they wore them to church really proudly. And it's not because they couldn't afford to patch them or replace them. It's because they had become actors. Now, I know these people. I love these people. And I have to say that over the years, they've grown. But they got an idea from somebody, and it could have been from Scripture. Because there's places in Scripture where it says wail, cry out. But the point is, if that's what God is asking for in your situation right now, if you're overcome by compassion and you're going to lay down at the altar and cry out for somebody, I think that's great. I've done it. But you don't do it every other Friday after you've fasted from sunup to sundown just because everybody at that church has done that forever. And the people who think that they have to come up to the altar and cry and wail until they throw up. You know, lots of churches, we even have these cloths that you can cover people with if they fall and it's not real modest. There's churches that have ladies who handle the trash baskets so that people can throw up in them. These are sincere people who love God. But they've gotten into some hypocritical traditions that have them performing a certain way. So my whole point with talking about what, and I say it doesn't work, but I have to be honest. God correct me here. Maybe it does work. Maybe their hearts are sincere. But I can't do it. And I have felt compelled sometimes when I was in these churches. Well, if she's a leader and a missionary and goes all these places and does all these things, why isn't she laying at the altar interceding? Maybe she isn't all that. Well, I'm not. I'm not all that. And I know it. There's just some things I can't do unless God moves me to do it right now. And that's what we have to be aware of. And I would encourage you to look at what you think praying is. What do you do? How do you do it? Do you listen for God? You know, I have some great friends who are some of the most sincere people. They've planted churches. I love them. They're successful. They get people saved. They work with children. They do wonderful things. But if I talk to Glenn the way they talk to God, Glenn wouldn't have it for very long. Oh, my husband Glenn, beloved Glenn, oh Glenn. Glenn, I love you. Glenn, I know you've promised to cherish me, but let me tell you, I need this and that. Oh, beloved husband Glenn, my husband. Have you ever heard anybody talk to God like that? It's not a conversation. I didn't even leave room for Glenn to say, yeah, I do love and cherish you, and I'm going to take care of you. And I know you need that. Relax, I got this. But I'm going to throw every word I've ever heard any other Christian in my church or my atmosphere say, I'm going to throw them all at him just in case one of them works better than another or some combination. If you get into a situation like that, what you're doing is vain repetition. And it doesn't leave much room for you to hear what he would like to say to you. And honestly, I have things that I pray about all the time because they're on my heart and I think about them. And most of the time, it's people. But mostly I leave room for what he says because it's way more important than what I have to say. Now, he told us to pray. And he told us to fast. He told us to do all kinds of things. And we don't always do them in private because sometimes we want people to recognize those things, but it's for his glory. Not for ours, not so that everybody in church knows we're spiritual because we go to the altar every time. Of course, then there's other churches where if you go to the altar every time, there's something wrong with you. There is so much pressure to act a certain way that we have to maintain an open line of communication with God so that he can say, man, it was good to hear from you and hear what concerns you, and this is what I have to say about it. if we don't keep our ears and spirits and our minds open to that, by not constantly repeating vain repetitions or the same prayers over and over. No, it's not wrong to pray the Lord's Prayer. No, it's not wrong to say the same prayers. But think about the words you're saying. You know, Glenn and Damon outlined Matthew 6 through 13, I think, which is the Lord's Prayer. And the whole point is, what we're doing there is looking at a guideline. Our Father, that's who He is. That should trigger something in us, in our heart and our mind and our spirit. It helps us connect with Him. I'm not going to go all the way back through that prayer because Damon and Glenn's messages are recorded and you can listen to that, because they do go through that prayer verse by verse, explaining the intention that Jesus had when He said, pray like this. This is the attitude you need to have. One of the verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Well, yeah, we all need to eat. But the Bible tells us that man does not live by bread alone. In Deuteronomy 8:8, it says, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Actually, it says everything that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, I'm assuming that's His breath, His creative power. That's what causes us to live, not just His words, but everything. And Matthew 4:4 says the same thing again. And in John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So giving God at least equal time in our prayer time really is more important than what we have to say, so that we can have our daily bread, which is whatever proceeds from the mouth of God, the Father, and His Son, Jesus. As far as fasting goes, almost all my notes on fasting are included in Glenn's, so I'm going to move pretty quickly on this. How am I doing on time, honey? Okay. Fasting is something that we do, once again, in Matthew it says, in secret, not like the hypocrites. And lots of people spend an inordinate amount of time talking about what kind of fast they're going to follow and what items that includes that they're allowed to eat or not eat, and what times a day, and how many days in a row. And once again, it's a question of the intention of your heart. If you're looking to draw closer to God and follow His mandate that says we are to fast, then the whole point is not simply to follow the rules and not to make God do what we want, but it is to draw closer to Him, to hear Him more clearly, and to understand what He's telling us. It's to deny our flesh and to humble ourselves. But by the same token, God says in Isaiah 58:3, through the prophet, He's saying, Israel, you've cried out and you've said, we have fasted and you still don't see us. We've humbled ourselves and you still don't answer us. And God says, well, yeah, you followed all those rules. you did all those things, but you were fighting among yourselves, you were gossiping, you were pointing accusing fingers at your neighbors, you didn't notice the hungry people, you didn't feed the naked people. Why should I listen to you? Your hearts are what I see. So once again, God is telling us right there, you can follow all the rules and still not reach the goal that he's set before us because you're not doing it with your heart. You're not listening for his voice. You are acting. There are all kinds of fasts. Are you going to talk about actually different kinds of fasts? Okay. Some, and these are fasts that you can find in the Bible. The bottom line is, talk to God about it. You know, I can't just not eat all day every day because I need to take medicine and I'll get sick. And some people say, oh, well, I just suffer through it. Okay, that's fine for you. I'm going to eat a little something so I can take my medicine and not suffer through it. But you can fast food and drink liquids. You can fast Facebook or fast NASCAR or fast football or anything that you and God agree will help you set aside time, think about him, and listen for his voice to speak to you. And there are many scriptures outlining many different kinds of fasts, but the bottom line, which is in Isaiah, again, chapter 58, and this is verse 10, where he's talking to Israel. And he says, if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday, and the Lord will continually guide you. Well, if he's going to continually guide you, you're going to be hearing his voice. So if you're in the right place, there's nothing that can stop him from communicating his perfect will to you. And praying and fasting as communication with him is what will help us get to that point. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over since we're getting close to the halfway mark. If anybody has any questions, great. My notes are cryptic, but if anybody wants a copy, I'll upload them. Otherwise, I'll pass it off to Glenn's most excellent teaching.
Anybody want a break, or do you want to just continue?